all of us originally anticipated. But I think the one thing that's driving this is we know that we want to have soccer here in 2011. And there's nothing that will focus the mind like meeting that deadline. And also, as I said, getting some improvements that are out of, get those improvements out of the way in time for the baseball season to start this year. So I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Leonard.
Frankly, I'm befuddled for the reasons I've been listening to not support this agreement, because the fact is that if we don't have an agreement and one of the parties is willing to spend substantial amounts of dollars to the improvements required for the stadium to meet Major League Soccer before we have an agreement, the onus falls on them to make sure that we have a written development agreement. So it confounds what I think is very prudent approach to negotiating deals, and that is that we are, I think, even more protected today than we were yesterday if this passes, because Merit will be spending a whole lot of money at PGE Park without having a written guarantee with the city that we will, in fact, have an operating agreement. So if anybody is under the gun with this agreement, it's Mr. Paulson et al. So I'm very comfortable with the agreement that Sam has worked to bring before us today. I appreciate the work and the thoughtfulness behind it, and particularly Ken Rust, his staff, David Loxton, his staff, have just done outstanding work. And I don't say that from just afar, but being in the room with them has been a very refreshing experience. And I want to assure all council members, whether you support this or not, that the city has been insulated and protected every step of the way. The entire tone of the negotiations has been to protect the city, the general fund, its services, police, fire services specifically, parks, and that the onus for the costs fall squarely on the shoulders of Mr. Paulson personally. So I don't know how we could ever have developed and brought before the council anything more protective of the city's interest than the document we're voting on today, and I appreciate very much the work that's gone into it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, goodness knows I share the impatience of, and I know I speak for everyone on council when I say I share the impatience of either getting to a final agreement for council consideration or move on. Again, I feel like we are in the zone to reach an agreement, and in this particular case, worst-case scenario, we walk away with an improved facility for baseball, better access for services, bathrooms that were part of the original baseball park renovation program, and no harm to the field. So I do think this increases our leverage. I understand reasonable people can disagree, but that is why I will vote to approve this. And we're in the final couple of weeks of coming to agreement. So I think the fact that that we are impatient needs to be, even though this is going to move forward, needs to be communicated to our partners on the other side of the table. It's time to get an agreement or move on. Aye. All right. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 42.
Accept formula allocation of $5,626,100 from the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program administered by the U.S. Department of Energy as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Well, this is one of the easiest tasks that council will have all year. We're here to accept and to call out the formula for allocating $5.6 million from the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program administered by the U.S. Department of Energy as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. It is a great jumpstart to implementing our climate action plan that the City Council approved in October 2009. And on a staff level, Michael Armstrong, who you're going to hear from next, the Director of Sustainability in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, will outline in greater detail. These dollars are going to be used to preserve almost 200 jobs over the next 2 years in both nonprofit, for-profit, and governmental sectors. including efficient transportation with the Smart Trips, safe routes to schools, efficient buildings with Clean Energy Works Portland, and emerging technologies and some efforts on solar that you're going to hear about in a minute. Similarly, we're making investments in city buildings and to be more energy efficient, which will have an ongoing benefit to the city's bottom line and to our own operational impacts on greenhouse gas emissions. And it supports the community-wide workforce investment program that Council approved a few months ago. With that introduction, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Michael Armstrong with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As the Mayor noted, this ordinance would accept a grant award from the U.S. Department of Energy for $5.6 million. This grant program was established about 2 years ago, and for the first time, the federal stimulus bill, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, put funding into it. So this is the very first time these dollars have been available to us locally. I would note that separately, we are applying for a much bigger share of dollars from the same grant fund in conjunction with the state of Oregon, with other local governments, and with a wide range of nonprofit and utility partners. We should know about that within the next few months. In the meantime, we really want to get started with this initial allocation. The $5.6 million supports a combination of public projects in city facilities as well as community-wide programs, and likewise supports both reducing energy use in transportation as well as in buildings. So very quickly, the money flows in rough categories, about $1.1 million to the Clean Energy Works program, retrofitting homes in Portland to improve their energy efficiency. About $1.4 million goes toward behavior change programs. The largest share of those are the transportation programs, Smart Trips, Safer Routes to Schools. It also supports our technical assistance to small businesses to help them reduce energy use, as well as continuing our renewable energy workshops. A smaller share enables us to take next steps on district energy for the North Pearl, looking at the city's role in that and seeing how we can move that project forward. And then about half of the total dollars go to city facilities projects, and that's everything from more efficient lighting at some of the community centers, Fulton, Montevilla, Hillside, as well as at the wastewater treatment plant. It will replace windows at the Peninsula Park Community Center. It upgrades our LED traffic signals, our pedestrian signals. It switches out and installs a more efficient chiller at the Water Bureau's building on North Interstate. It lets us install a micro hydro turbine in the water tower, in the Vernon Water Tower. So when people turn their taps, water flows out, generates electricity. It's all gravity fed. And then lastly, it will help us install solar on a variety of city facilities, the Water Bureau Wellfield sites, the Kirby Building, Dishman Community Center, Multnomah Arts Center, and Portland International Raceway as well. All of these things are key components of the Climate Action Plan, so this is really wonderfully timed to let us ramp up implementation very quickly of this. And I would note this grant program is something the city advocated for years, and so Dan Bates and the folks in government relations have been very helpful in getting this established at a national level. And so it's very encouraging to see the dollars flowing down through this and letting us really get a quick start on implementing all of these programs. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
I have a question, but first, just congratulations on getting the grant and what this means for our community. Is there a list? It's not part of our packet, but is there a list somewhere that has all the various projects that are currently contemplated?
Well, there's a list of all the ones that will be funded with this initial allocation, and then we went through a process to try to identify all of the potential projects citywide. And so there are some, assuming this is funded again in the future, there are some that we will go back to. So that's a list I know we have, but it will take a little more work to get. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'd be happy to provide that.
If I could just see the list of what we are going to fund, I guess.
Certainly.
I'm delighted that a number of them appear to be parks, rec facilities,
right,
and other public facilities. So thank you.
We got your back, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Got a question.
Commissioner Seltzman.
Michael, I was just curious with respect to solar electric on various city facilities. What is the status of the solar electric facility at the wastewater treatment plant?
So it's part of a citywide assessment where we went and looked at all city facilities and sites, really, that might be candidates for solar. We've had a request for proposals out, and I believe we are still in the process of selecting the contractor who will then install solar, you know, there continue to be issues. You know, you think a site is good, and it turns out it's got some things sticking up on the roof, those sorts of things. We're having to adjust the list of sites, but my understanding is that the wastewater treatment plant remains on the list as a likely site for solar.
And so we're in the process of selecting a contractor to do the installation of solar electric cells on city facility, like
correct.
One contractor to do the work at
correct.
Different facilities.
That's right. So there was a number of bureaus worked together to have a shared RFP. The Water Bureau kind of plowed some ground on this for us by going out, and when we have the initial installation at the well field already there. And so that was helpful in informing how the other bureaus did their work, and the Water Bureau is participating in that broader collaboration as well.
How far away are we from selecting a contractor? Just out of
well, I'm. Let me get you an answer on that because it's been moving. It was a very slow process to get the RFP out. I believe it's moving more quickly, and we may have selected one. But let me get you current information.
Okay. One just final question.
Yeah.
Are any of the changes that are being contemplated to the state energy tax credits will those have a bearing on this or? Our decision to go ahead or don't
well, I? Potentially. The projects we're looking at, for the most part, are relatively small at a statewide scale, and so it's likely that they will still be eligible. But
okay.
There's a lot of discussion about that now. So it's
okay.
A
Thanks.
Very current issue.
So this is great that this federal money is going to be coming into our community. And I know, Mayor Adams, last year you were very concerned and continue to be concerned about making sure there's opportunities for others, for all kinds, for new folks to get in on the contracting. So how would folks in the community wanting to get in on the contracting or subcontracting find out about the opportunities?
Also, all of these will be posted just as all city contracting opportunities are. With the Clean Energy Works program, there's a very deliberate effort to engage historically disadvantaged contractors, and so there's both business support and outreach going on. And so all of that information is on the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's website about how to connect to that.
Thank you very much.
There are three reforms for the listening audience. One is early last year we reformed the purchasing process so that there is it's much more community-based in the terms that there's a committee that reviews the contracts before they are even let for proposal, that they are small enough and provide enough reasonable opportunities for local enterprises and also for certified minority and women-owned firms. Then the council passed the LBE, the local business enterprise, which for limited by law number of contracts get limited where folks that are based in the city of Portland get extra points. Then Commissioner Leonard's proposal that on the actual selection committees that there be folks from the minority chambers of commerce. Those are all great reforms that are intended to focus our ongoing contracting work, but then also the stimulus money on as local as legally possible and on firms and individuals and potential workers that have historically not had the contracting opportunities that we wish they would have.
Mayor, just I think because you and Commissioner Leonard deserve even more credit than that, that the proposal that we voted on with the chambers actually uses them as a gatekeeper to solicit participation from even a broader pool. So while they will be helping to assemble the pool, the broader community will be engaged in that process as well.
Yep. Any other discussion? Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Thanks, Beigel.
You.
All right. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, it is good to review what the council did last year, and certainly working with the bureaus, and there's a lot of effort going into making sure that we do contracting right and also that we do energy efficiency right, so I'm very pleased to support this. Aye.
Fish.
I want to just observe that our CRAC federal team does a great job getting stimulus money, earmarks, and other appropriations for good work in our community. So Dan Bates and his team, congratulations. Mayor, thank you for your leadership as the
beggar in chief.
As the but your words, not mine. I was going to say you are in charge of planning and sustainability, and this is a triple win for us, really. And I would also like to just acknowledge that for members of our community who live near the Hillside, Montevilla, and Fulton community centers, there's good news in this for you. If you live near Peninsula Park, there's good news. And I'm also delighted that it will fund an AmeriCorps volunteer to help the Parks Bureau implement its Bureau Sustainability Plan, among many other community benefits. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So this is great. I think, you know, there's a lot of people, and, you know, I guess I count myself among those sometimes, that wonders where all the stimulus money is going. And this is a really solid example of right here, of we're getting almost $6 million of it to do good things with both our own facilities, but also moving our community down a more sustainable, energy-efficient path that's going to be help people in their pocketbooks as well. So good example of here's $5, $6 million right here of that stimulus money going to good work. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Boy, just to pick up on your point, Commissioner, it is a lot of moving parts. And with federal stimulus money coming from upwards of 26 different spigots, it is complicated, I'm the first to say. But I am pleased that we've managed to land this money and appreciate the efforts of Kimberly Schneider and the great Christine and Jeff and the great folks at the Bureau of Purchasing. Work hard to stay on top of it. In this particular case, also the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and Michael Armstrong. Thank you. Aye. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 43?
Authorize an air rights lease agreement with 409 Project LLC to construct, use, and maintain a mixed-use building over the sidewalk portion of Southwest Stark Street.
Good morning. D. Walker, Right-of-Way Acquisition with Transportation. Today, I bring before you a request to enter into a lease agreement with 409 Project LLC for airspace over a portion of Southwest 13th Avenue at the intersection of Stark for a nine-story mixed-use building. The lease is actually a condition of the major encroachment review that passed City Council on December 2nd. And there is one thing that I noticed that I'm hoping we can just correct here. The title, actually, it's really over Southwest 13th Avenue. The way the intersection is, it kind of Stark, Burnside is coming into that intersection, but the majority of the encroachment will be over Southwest 13th Avenue.
I move amendment to the title and other appropriate places in the document that it reflect Southwest 13th Avenue.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, any discussion on this proposed amendment? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Go ahead.
Thank you. I spoke to Brent Grubb with Skylab Architecture today, this morning, and he was supposed to be here to answer any questions that you might have about the project. Brent, are you here? Okay. So if anyone has any questions?
Any questions from the City Council? All right. Anyone wish to testify on item number 43?
No one signed up.
Seeing none, Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
You already answered my question, which was, didn't we just do this? And so this just, you explained
yes.
Very well, and the previous presentation was very clear, too. Thank you.
Thank
aye.
You.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Thank
emergency
you.
Ordinance 43 is approved. Thank you for your work. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 44?
Amend contract with Tri-State Construction for change order number 11 for fabrication and erection of a bicycle and pedestrian bridge east of Northeast 92nd Drive over the Columbia Slough.
Who would like to go first? Mr.
Good morning, Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator and Project Manager in the Bureau of Transportation for the Northeast 92nd Drive Project. And with me is David Olongi, the Supervising Bridge Engineer for the City of Portland. On August 28, 2009, Council awarded a construction contract to Tri-State Construction for the 2009 Local Improvement District's project, which included Northeast 87th and Columbia Boulevard and Northeast 92nd Drive. The original contract included the Phase 1 work for Northeast 92nd Drive, which was the street work and upgrade work to the existing vehicle bridge over Northeast 92nd Drive. The amount of the contract at contract award was $671,641. We have completed most of the phase one construction on Northeast 92nd Drive. We have had $138,362.14 worth of change orders since we started construction. Most of those change orders have been for utility relocation work from what was previously private property. So in lieu of paying the property owners to relocate utilities in advance of construction, we felt it was more prudent to have our own contractor move the utilities due to inadequate locates of those private utilities. And the bulk of that work was to relocate the main power feed for the Portland International Airport, which the contractor successfully did without interruption to aircraft operations at PDX. So as it stands right now, under delegated authority from council, the amount of the contract is $810,003.14. So what this ordinance would do would amend the contract to add in $251,174.92 for change order number 11 to complete the phase two work on Northeast 92nd Drive, which is to manufacture and erect a companion bicycle and pedestrian bridge over the Columbia Slough, and would also add contingency on the remaining item, which would bring the total contract amount to $1,123,971.79. Of the change order number 11 for the $251,000, 28% of that change order is for cost for Tri-State, and 72% is for other subcontractors, the largest of which is to actually build the new companion bicycle and pedestrian bridge. I did want to emphasize that the companion bike ped bridge is within the original scope of the LID. It's not a new cost or a new item. And all of the subcontracted items within this change order were competitively bid. The reason that we did not include the work in the phase one contract that we advertised for bids on was that at the time we didn't have an easement from the Oregon Division of State Land to put in the new ped bike bridge, nor did we have a BDS Type 2 land use approval. We now have those in hand and can move forward. The policy decision for council today is whether you want to have the companion bridge built and installed as part of this change order that has been approved subject to council approval, or whether you want to do a separate solicitation. The reason that we are recommending approval of this change order is for the following reasons. First of all, the change order from Tri-State is $20,101.84, or 8% below the engineer's estimate for the work. The adopting this change order eliminates the risk of a separate solicitation coming in higher, which we think would be likely due to the need to go through the contracting process and for the for another contractor or perhaps the same contractor to remobilize. It also locks in the savings for the property owners now and holds a single contractor accountable for work in a combined area. And then finally, it expedites completion of the overall project, which minimizes financing costs for the property owners and the LID in addition to the savings over the engineer's estimate. And finally, I would just add that the overall construction costs on this project are trending significantly below the amount estimated at LID formation. So again, this is really a policy issue of whether we can proceed and have the existing contractor do this work or whether you want us to come back to council under a separate solicitation. David and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have. And I thought I would just pass out some pictures to you of representation of what the new bridge will look like, regardless of which option council prefers.
Reference on council.
Could I just ask, so all the change orders were at our direction?
Yes, and they were anticipated.
Thank you. That was a very clear presentation. Thank you very much.
So the incremental cost for the bridge is
$313,000? No, the actual cost of the bridge itself is...
The pedestrian bicycle.
Yes. Bridge. I mean, the all of the items in the... Almost all of the items in the change order of $251,000 relate to the bridge itself. There's about $10,000 of sidewalk and bollard work that isn't related to the bridge. So about $241,000 of that change order is related to the bridge.
But you're adding also a 25%
contingency on the remaining item, because if we started putting the bridge out there and we had some unstable soils or something, we didn't want to have to stop a bridge construction project midstream and come back to council and ask for additional authority to finish up the work.
And what is the confidence level of that change order amount of roughly $300,000?
I think
confidence
it's quite...
in terms of the... You said it was an engineer's estimate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Commissioner. I should have clarified that. When I mentioned the engineer's estimate, that was prior to us making a contract decision or talking to Tri-State about doing a change order for the work. So that was the engineer's estimate before we entered into negotiations for the change order. So the level of confidence is quite high now because the change order has been executed contingent upon City Council approval of this ordinance.
So Tri-State, in other words, is committed.
Yes.
To delivering the bridge for that amount of money.
Yes. I mean, the only wrinkle in the equation would be if when we get out there and start installing the bridge, if there was something strange about the soils, or we had to do some additional excavation or pile driving work or something of that nature when we start getting into construction.
There's always an unknown quantity when you're installing piles in case you encounter boulders or some other obstruction, yeah. Which right. You can never fully predict.
And then finally, what Tri-State's... minority women ESB involvement? What is that?
The MWESB utilization on this particular change order is low. We're going to use Maori rebar for $4,340 worth of work. The bridge fabrication work is, my understanding, there's no eligible MWESB contractors to do the bridge fabrication work. Which was almost $85,000. That was the largest item of the change orders. I do know that Tri-State made a very concerted effort to reach out to MWESB contractors on the pile driving work, and I think I have some copies of some faxes here that they sent, and they specifically reached out to MWESB firms, but none of them came back with a quote that we could put into the contract. So I was personally disappointed that we didn't get better response from the MWESB subs.
But Tri-State did pursue all
yes.
of the required efforts,
yes.
good faith efforts.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And finally, I might just add that Tri-State itself is a Portland firm. They have offices in East Portland in the Argay neighborhood, and this work will help them maintain the size of their existing workforce and help tide them over until hopefully better times return to the construction world.
And I'd just like to say publicly what I've said privately, and that is to both of you, your specific attention to the details of the MW and ESB outreach efforts are exemplar. The fact that you kept after the contractor and that you know their outreach efforts, you know when a firm is available or not available, that's exactly what we hope from all project managers. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Other council discussion? All right. Anyone wish to testify on item number 44? Because of the nature of the work, this is an emergency. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Well, that was a very clear presentation. I particularly appreciate you pointing out the policy implications. I have been concerned about the 25% overruns, but in this case, it was us who was asking for all of the changes. And I think for the reasons that you stated, it's prudent to go with Tri-State Construction for this latest change order, knowing that they will continue to work to involve the minority women, emerging small business folks. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Item number 44 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 45?
Authorize Urban Area Security Initiative Grant Funded Contract with Consortium of Business Continuity Professionals, Inc. for $105,000 to complete a business impact analysis for Washington County Department of Support Services and Department of Land Use and Transportation.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
What are we looking at here?
This is a very simple authorization. Washington County is going to do a business impact analysis for two of their large departments. Land Use and Transportation, and also their support services. This will allow for prioritization of restoration of services, as well as anticipated costs and loss of service in relationship to a business interruption. It's a precursor to continuity of operations planning. It's $105,000. It's supported by Urban Security Initiative, and we are part of the management of the grant through Office of Emergency Management.
Questions for Ms. Reuter?
And why are we? Why is Portland responsible for administering this?
We are the executors of the Urban Area Security Initiative funds. Portland Office of Emergency Management has been managing over $40 million worth of grants over the last 5 years. The money comes in through our office and is managed through Portland standards. Everything, all of the grants have to meet Portland standards, City of Portland standards.
Because we had the staff.
And do we get administrative fees for doing that administration?
Very little.
Well, then Washington County should be very grateful to us.
They are.
All right, good.
Any other discussion? Anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance item number 45? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Thank you, Patty. That was a very clear presentation. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Patty, thanks for your ongoing great work. Aye. That gets us to item number 46. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 46?
Authorize sewer revenue bonds to finance additions and improvements to the sewer system.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll let Eric explain the details, but there is a discrepancy in the amount of the requested authorization in this ordinance, and so I need to offer an amendment to amend Section 1.6 of the ordinance to correct the stated amount of the authorization to $450 million.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this amendment? Anyone wish to testify on this amendment? Carla, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Approved. Eric?
Okay. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Eric Johansson, City Debt Manager. This ordinance does authorize $450 million of sewer revenue bonds. Proceeds of these bonds will fund a major portion of the Bureau of Environmental Services capital improvement program for the next 18 to 24 months. We expect that these bonds will be sold in early March and also closed in March. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions from anybody wish to testify on? Yep.
So this is an expected authorization of bonds that's in the budget?
Yes.
And yep. Is there any third lien or anything like we had in the Water Bureau?
We're not proposing that in this deal. We're maintaining the flexibility to do either the existing first or second lien bonds as we did.
Thank you. Yep.
All right, unless there is someone that wishes to testify on non-emergency ordinance number 46, it moves to a second reading next week. Unless there are objections, I will move, pull back emergency ordinance item number 47 and refer it back to my office. So moved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance code amendments item number 48?
Update purchasing code to conform to new state law and make technical corrections.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Christine Moody, Procurement Services.
I'm Jeff Baer, the Director of the Bureau of Internal Business Services with the Office of Management Finance.
As a result of the 2009 legislative session, the Public Contracting Code, ORS 279, Chapters 279A, 279B, and 279C have been revised. The city must now update its own contracting rules, City Code Chapters 5.33 and 5.34. One significant change to note is the requirement for the city to conduct an analysis to determine if it's feasible to use the city's own personnel or resources to perform the same services for contracts over $250,000. And the revision to 533 also gives the authority to execute grants, $5,000 or less, to bureau directors. Other updates to the code are fairly minor and considered technical cleanups. And we would be happy to answer any questions that council might have.
Questions from council. Just curious, could you give us an example of a something we do routinely where we adopt a contract for over $200,000 where under the new state law we'd have to first take a look at whether we could have the capacity in-house to do it? What do you have a typical, just so we can?
Yeah, we actually came up with a number of different areas that are under service. One might be elevator maintenance services. That would be one which we would not necessarily have the technical capacity internally. But we would have to go through the process because the annual contract would exceed $250,000 to determine whether or not it's feasible to do it internally versus externally. I mean, that's just one example.
This would not, for example, let's take housing for a second. We, as you know, do not build housing.
Right.
We contract with nonprofits that build housing. This would not impact that contracting process, would it?
No, it does not apply to professional technical expert services or construction services.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on emergency code amendments, number 48? Carly, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Thank you. That was a very clear presentation, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Thanks for your great work. Aye. Please read the title for purchasing report, item number 49.
Accept bid of Stettler Supply and Construction for the Columbia South Shore Wellfield Improvements Project for $843,500.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is a purchasing agent report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $843,500. Portland Water Bureau entered into grant and loan agreements with the Environmental Protection Agency to provide funding for this project as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and Oregon Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund. The city's Good Faith Efforts program does not apply to this project, as EPA requires contractors to comply with their federal DBE program. Stettler Supply has complied with all the ARRA requirements, and the DBE subcontracting participation is at 6.2%. I'll turn this back over to council if there are any questions regarding the bidding process, and Mary Ellen Collentine is here from the Water Bureau to answer any technical questions about this project.
So we have to go with the federal rules on certified firms, and that's the way it is.
Yes, we try to get them to adopt our good faith efforts, but in this particular project, they wanted to stay with their DBE.
Why only two firms responding to our bid?
I am not sure that why there was only two firms responding to the bid. It might be because of the technical nature of that. Mariel?
Hi, Mariel and Collentine with Portland Water. The work that is being done is very specialized. It requires the firms to be licensed well drillers, and there aren't that many firms out there that can do the work. So we only received a limited number of bids on the project.
I mean, people that do wells? I mean, there's a lot of well drillers throughout mm-hmm. the state who are licensed, I presume. Mm-hmm.
And they
so it's not only that, two it's not that specialized.
Well, they need to be licensed. They need to be bonded. They need to be able to get a performance and payment bond for up to $1 million for the work. They need to have a city business license and meet all the requirements of the city purchasing rules. And some firms who are very small would choose not to do that. So there are only a couple of firms that were interested. We've seen this on our we previously bid this work out 3 years ago. And we also only received two bids on the project.
Other discussion from council?
I just want to make sure I'm clear on what we're doing here. It's going to be funded through a combination of a $650,000 grant through the Recovery Act, and then a $650,000 approval for a 20-year loan, but we're not going to go out for the full loan because the bid came up so much under the asking price. Is that correct? But we're required by the state to go out to authorize the full amounts of the loan, even though we're not going to need it all.
So as I understand it, just like with some of the other ARRA funding, is that funds is spent first mm-hmm. because they want us to spend those grant funds, mm-hmm. and that the rest, then they would tap into the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund for the rest of the money to support this project.
And we wouldn't go. We wouldn't borrow the rest of the money.
Not if we don't need it, no. It was specifically earmarked for this project.
Thank you.
All right, additional council discussion? Or is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on item number 49, a purchasing report? I'll entertain a motion to accept.
So moved.
Seconded. Been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the purchasing report?
Fritz. So to summarize, this is supposed to be a $1.3 million contract because of the economy. The bid is $843,000. $650,000 of that is going to be paid with stimulus money, leaving the city needing only to pay $200,000. So that's really the greatest proportion of this is coming from the stimulus money, and that's really great. Thank you for your work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm going to support this. I guess I continue to be just a little perplexed about the fact we only received two bidders and the explanation of that we have very stiff extraordinary bonding, insurance, you name it, requirements. I mean, we're all trying to increase participation of smaller businesses, and I can think of no sort of a small business sector more than people who drill wells. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we're really serious about, you know, as a council, that we're going to open up opportunities for smaller businesses, you know, we can't have $1 million bond requirements and things like that. And say we're serious about that. So I support this. I'm just concerned about our high requirements in this case. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, if the council wants to entertain changing the criteria for bids, I'm open to that. But I think the Water Bureau and purchasing has done exactly what the rules require. And we can't sanction people who don't want to give bids. So you've done just exactly what the process requires, and I appreciate it. Aye.
Adams.
If you could... just by way of a thought piece, reply on a debrief on this particular issue, if and how the requirement for a bond played into it or not. I'd appreciate that from your professional opinions. You can't do it now because we're voting, but as an email later, that would be useful. And any advice any advice or recommendations that you would make? Okay. I understand we can't change the rules in the middle of this particular contract, but would, I think, welcome your professional advice and opinion on that. Thank you for your work. Aye. Can you please read the title for purchasing report item number 50?
Accept bid of Moore Excavation, Inc. for the Fano Basin Pump Station FM Multnomah Section Project for $5,050,951.
Christine. Hi. Moody.
Hello again.
Hi. This is what happens if you don't have any council meetings in December. So before you, is the purchasing agent report.
Was that criticism directed at the president of the council or the mayor?
I think it was the president of the council.
Okay, it just means you get to see me one
I'm
after
taking
another.
It. I just wanted to know.
Well, it's good to see that staff has been working diligently during the council, not me.
Yes, they were anxious to have this day come.
Mr. Presidente. Sorry, go ahead, Ms.
Okay. Purchasing agent report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $5,050,951. The city identified 9 divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities, and participation on this project is at 45.4%, and work is being performed in the areas of concrete cutting, traffic control, and hauling. So I'll turn this back over to council if you have any questions.
Council discussion? Anyone wish to testify on purchasing report item number 50? Carla, would you please call the vote?
Do you want a motion to accept?
I'm sorry.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Now would you please call the vote?
Fritz?
So I do see more excavation coming up, winning bids a lot, so obviously they are providing the low bids, and I am concerned that the total contract, the minority women small business is only 4.2%, even though the subcontractor proportion is higher. So I would be interested to hear more about that. But I support this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 50 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 51?
Amend contract with CH2M Hill for additional work and compensation for the Fano Basin Pump Station Pressure Main Garden Home Section Project Number E08293.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 52.
Adopt uniform policies for deferred and installment payment of system development charges.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Once again, I want to thank Dan Vizzini, Andy Peterson, and Lotta Danaher and the whole team for the very good briefings that they've given our office, and thank you for your good work on this. Aye.
Fish.
I had a chance at the last council meeting to compliment my colleague Randy Leonard, Paul Scarlett and his team, and the collaborative effort with BES and BDS and other bureaus to come up with the work product, which we're voting on today, in 52 and 53. But I do want to just, if I could, observe that if I've learned anything in my first 18 months on the job, and some of my colleagues may actually answer that by saying I've learned very little, I would say what I have learned is that the hardest work we do and the work that sometimes has the greatest impact receives the least public attention. There seems to be an inverse relationship often between the importance of the matter before us and the extent to which it creates public controversy. And the reverse of that is the hard work of our day-to-day job here of making the bureaucracy work better and actually fulfilling the commitment which both Commissioner Leonard and the mayor have made to better customer service, better streamlining of our systems. This is not sexy work. It is extremely hard. It's very hard to get it right. And when you get outcomes like this, it's cause to be celebrated, which means it will not show up in any newspaper or any media outlet. But it's worth pausing for a moment.
You were reading the paper.
it may very well make a posting on the Willamette Week blog. But so I just want to take the moment to say that as a city commissioner, what we hear regularly in the community is we're not so concerned about the fees we pay or necessarily the requirements that you impose. But God's sake, please make them predictable and uniform, and please don't make us run around to 20 different places to get the relief we need. And please be a partner in what we're trying to do. And that's a fair request. And I think Commissioner Leonard has been hammering this home since at least 2002. And the mayor has made this a centerpiece of what he asked us to do under his first term as mayor. So why do we do it? We do it because people have asked us to cut red tape and streamline the permit process and streamline our systems. And why is that important? Because if we do our job right, then we will encourage development that is consistent with our values, and we will create jobs, and we will enhance our community. So it all comes back to some very basic things with very important outcomes. But again, it's the least sexy work that we do. It's probably the hardest. And in the ordinary course, we would just say aye and let this moment pass. But I believe that in any fair assessment of the most important issues that we tackled last year, this would make the top five. And I would put it near the top of the top five. And I think as a leadership marker, this goes at the top of my list. So I want to, again, congratulate my colleagues for their work. And I want to thank the Bureau directors and their staff for their exemplary work. And I just want to celebrate the fact that I think this shows that the system works. And we have something to build on, which I think is very positive. So I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I certainly want to echo the comments of Commissioner Fritz, Fish, excuse me. This is major work, difficult work, and frankly, I understand now more about how SDCs work and the deferral process and everything associated with them than I probably ever did before. But I think that's a good step that after 11 years, I'm finally starting to penetrate this stuff. And I do want to say that it is important work.
Slow but steady.
Yes, it is important work, and although it's not sexy, you got to admit that Paul, Andy, and Dan are sexy people. I think. Look at that handsome.
Clear the room.
Look at that handsome trio.
Clear the room of any media. I move we go into executive session.
So I'm pleased to support their work. All right.
You can say that without threat of law.
Okay.
Leonard.
Wow.
I think I better just say aye.
Adams.
That's great.
Wow.
And I thought I was the smartest. Good for you. I'm really proud of you, Dan. You've turned a new resolution. I want to thank again Commissioner Leonard for years of work on this, and I'm pleased to be supportive of his efforts as leading a fantastic team, Paul, Andy, and Dan. I'll just leave it at nice sweater, Dan. and vote aye.
Okay.
We are recessed.
No, we have to do 53.
Do we have 53? Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yes. Please read the title for second reading, item number 53.
Adopt uniform policies for partial and full exemptions of system development charges for qualified affordable housing developments.
Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, I was going to comment that this is my least favorite quarter because I have to vote first, and I'm often overwhelmed by the eloquence of my colleagues who speak afterwards. But I can't think of anything further to say after that round, so I'm just going to vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Now we're recessed till 2 p.m.
Did we change the vote order?
Yeah, we do every quarter.